I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Melanie J. Silas. We know that as people are home with the children, and we've just gotten another order that we will be working from home for another 2 weeks. Children will be out of school until April 15th. You can start to go a little bit stir crazy and get a little bit stressed out. So I want to turn it over to Dr. Melanie J. Silas, who's going to talk about what mental health relief and programs we have in the community that people can access during this time. Dr. Silas?
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Mayor, for having me. Mental health, you know, with everything that's going on with finances and, you know, transitioning from going to work every day with students going to school every day, and in a matter of, you know, moments, hours, you know, days, we've really kind of, our worlds have kind of turned upside down. I think that one thing that we have to consider is that we're only 2 weeks into this. So, you know, we've only been home for 2 weeks. We've only been, the students have only been home for 2 weeks, but it's still two solid weeks where our routines have been turned upside down. And so, some of the suggestions that I have, I mean, there are many, but, you know, recreating your schedule. When we get up to go to work, when we get students up to go to get our kids up to go to school, there's a routine, there's a rhythm. Like, we've been set into this rhythm. And so all of a sudden, you know, that rhythm changes, that schedule changes. And the place that we used to have as solely our space of our sanctuary or our safety place, our home, has now become our work and our school and home and everything else in between. So we have to create maybe spaces within the home that are designated for work and school, designated times that are designated for work and school. And then we also have to incorporate some downtime, some family time, and some self time, because being in the same house or with, you know, you're going from not only just working at home, but then you're a teacher on top of that. And I've seen 1,000 memes about, you know, kids who have graduated after a week of being at home at school, because it's been such a fast transition. So I think that in terms of mental health, switch up the monotony, but, you know, create the schedule, but then switch things up. We can still go outside. We just have to practice social distancing. Take a walk. My daughter wanted to take a walk the other day. She wore me all the way out. But you know what? If she wanted to walk, that's what we was going to do. So we, you know, kind of see your neighbors around. And I think that I've seen more families, more kids taking walks. You know, it feels like the 80s again, where, you know, people were, you know, doing things in the community that we just don't do anymore because we're so socially bound in other ways, or we have been socially bound in other ways. But some things that you can do inside of the house, if you feel a little bit more apprehensive about going outside, do coloring. Coloring is so relaxing. You know, you can draw, you can paint. I know, Mary, you have been doing some science experiments with you and Taylor at home. You know, do science experiments. There are things that you can do that don't cost money or cost very little money to do. You don't have to, you know, spend a ton of money to do things. You can read, you can play music. And, you know, when we were kids, we would make up games. you know what I mean? Right. So we have to go back to that spirit of creativity. And that means if you got to cut a hole in a bag and make it a basket at home and take some socks and roll it up and you start shooting from different points of the house or take it outside in the backyard. I mean, I think that we really have to engage our creativity in terms of really dealing with our mental health of being stir crazy inside the house. Go take a walk, go on, if you have a deck, go on the deck, go in the backyard, go take a chair and sit in the front of the house. You know, take in some fresh air. You don't want to go outside, as my grandparents used to say, open the front and the back door and let the cross breeze come through so you can still get some, you know, some air. So I think that there are so many ways that we can manage our mental health. Do meditation, exercise, do yoga. When Naya and I are done with work in school, you know, I light candles because the house has to transform itself from being the daytime work in school to now this is going back to our sanctuary. So I light candles. You know, I make sure that the windows and the, you know, the curtains are open so we can get some sunlight. And then, you know, and I know I'm saying a lot, But then we also have to make sure that we talk to our kids, because just like we are going through this transition, they are going through this transition. When I was talking to my daughter the other day, I asked her, I said, well, how are you doing with this? And she said, well, you know, I would rather be at school doing schoolwork than being
home. Taylor told me the same thing.
Doing schoolwork. And so they're dealing with grief. They're losing the connection with their teachers. I mean, they have them in an online modality, but that's very different than being, you know, face-to-face. Her teacher emailed me and said, I miss Naya's smile, her smiling face every morning when I come in. So they're grieving the students are grieving them. Now, they would never say that before all of this. But, you know, she's saying, I miss my teachers, I miss my friends, you know, so trying to find other ways that we can engage them either at home and then reconnecting them to their peers. I know I said a lot.
No, it's fine. And I think that you've given people a lot of different ideas of how to release during this time of being at home. But are there other resources, like in a community? I know the governor has a hotline. I believe the county has another hotline for mental health resources. Yes. Are there numbers that people can call to talk to someone when they're feeling like at their rope's end, so that they can get that sort of support on the other line of a phone?
Absolutely. So I have a few numbers here for you. I'm going to start nationally.
And before you give the numbers, just so that people know who's speaking, Dr. Melanie J. Silas is speaking about mental health and also getting ready to provide some different hotline numbers. She gave some different tips of what we can do while we're home to release stress. And so I'm going to turn it back over to her.
Thank you so much, Mayor. So there is a suicide hotline nationally. And I think that when people are really getting down to their wits end and they really don't know what to do, sometimes they choose, permanent solutions for a temporary problem. And we really don't want them to do that. And so if you're just needing someone to talk to, you can not only call, but they have chat lines. If you go online, I know we've been doing a lot of online things. So a suicide hotline, national hotline, that number is 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's the National Suicide Hotline, and it is open 24/7. And I encourage anyone who is, even if you don't even, know how you're feeling, I would still encourage them to call if they feel like, they're at that point where they need to talk to someone. The National Suicide Hotline, again, is 1-800-273-8255. Also, there's a National Veterans Crisis Hotline. Veterans Crisis Hotline, and that number is 1-800-273-8255. It's the same number, 1-800-273-8255. And that's the national hotline for anyone if they're dealing with some mental health issues. For the state mental health number, the Office of Mental Health is 1-844-863-9314. Again, the State Office of Mental Health, that number is 1-844-863-9314. In terms of the county has a phenomenal website. Please go on there, monroecounty.gov, and if you click on the area of mental health, they have a number of different organizations that deal with mental health right here in Monroe County. And if you actually click on some of those links, you will find that some of them are offering cooking classes online, meditation and mindfulness classes online, dealing with color, getting into your creativeness. And I think that the Mental Health Association are doing some of those things, and I'll mention that in a minute. But the line for Monroe County Mental Health, that is 585-753-5530. Again, the Monroe County Office of Mental Health is 585-753-5530. And the last number that I would like to offer to our listeners is the Lifeline Mobile Crisis Team, and that's locally. It is the Lifeline Mobile Crisis Team, and that number is 585-275-5151. So you have national resources, you have statewide resources, you have county resources, and you have our local city resources.
Thank you, Dr. Silas. And I know that that's a lot of information for people. We are definitely going to put this on our city website at www.cityofrochester.gov/coronavirus. We have a lot of information already there. Andrea, I don't know if you have a frontline caller.
We do have one question from the frontline. We do have one question from the front line. The listener is a healthcare provider, and she's concerned about one of her clients. Her question is, seeing that COVID-19 is now priority, what about mental health services? I have a client who is behind on her medication because coronavirus has taken priority. What do I do?
So if I'm understanding, this is a client who's behind on her meds? Okay, so I would definitely have her still call her primary care physician to see if those meds could be reordered. Also, you can sometimes call your pharmacy and have them call your medical practitioner, and they might be able to get through a little quicker. So if she calls the pharmacy and says that she needs a refill on her medication, they will actually contact her physician for her. So she may not have a direct line, but they may have a more direct line to her physician.
Absolutely. And her primary physician or all of the pharmacies are open. And so they are an essential business. So she doesn't have to worry because all of the pharmacies have remained open during this time. And if, as Dr. Silas has indicated, if she can't get through to her physician, please call the pharmacist that she works with, whether that's CVS or Rite Aid or Walgreens or Wegmans. She can ask the pharmacist to actually refill that prescription for her and get to her doctor, because we don't want anyone to go without their medication during this time. And so there's more than one way to get to the doctor's office. I know that doctor's offices are being inundated with calls right now, and so it may take them a while to answer the phones, but please contact your pharmacy and ask them to make that call if it's a critical situation. They are essential businesses, and so they remain open during this time. I don't know if you had anything to add, Vice President Lightfoot, or any questions. I know that mental health is something that you're very, very concerned about and have been working on a number of different things before we transition and take it over to our public safety folks.
I think that this is a good opportunity, Mayor, for folks to, and that are listening, importance of checking on their neighbors and checking on their loved ones. That's a question that you can ask. You may not can visit your grandparents. You may not can visit your parents, but you can call them. You can FaceTime them. You can ask them that very same question that was just asked by one of our frontliners callers was, do you have your medication? Do you need medication? This is a time where we can be advocating for our loved ones and our family members and our neighbors. So that's one of the check-ins. It's not just about toilet paper and food. Our medication is just as important for our citizens to make sure that they have that medication. And if they can't call, we should be trying to help them to navigate through that so that they can make sure that they're self-caring by taking their meds.
Thank you. Andrea, do you have another question or on your side? If not, I want to thank Dr. Silas before she will remain on the line for any questions that people may have if you think of something, but wanted to turn it back over to the studio to see if you had another question.
The only other question we have from the front line is, I have two elderly parents that will not stay at home. How can I stress to them the importance of staying at home and protecting themselves?
Two elderly parents who won't stay still, basically. I have a father who won't stay still. And so I have to tell him all the time, and Daddy, I'm not calling you elderly. Let me just clarify that right now. But we have to just stress, you know, show the facts, you know, show them what's going on. This disease is not, this virus is not a respecter of persons, age, race, color, creed, or anything. So, you know, we want to make sure that they're safe. I would just keep reiterating to them that it really is important for them to stay home. If they want to go out for a walk or something like that, or just to get some fresh air, it's good for all of us to do that. So I would just keep reiterating, you know, your concern, you know, that you are concerned, you want them safe, you know, you love them and you want the best for them. And Mayor, may I just add one thing? You know, yes. COVID, you know, kind of came out of nowhere, but people were still, you know, dealing with their own everyday situation. So this can really compound, you know, situations for them. If they were already stressed out, if they were already exhausted, if they were already dealing with financial issues, if they were already dealing with home and family problems, you know, COVID can really, you know, compound those situations. You know, we really don't want to leave this space in the same conditions that we came into, meaning that if we were already exhausted, if we were already worn out and stressed out, this is an opportunity for us really to stop. This is an opportunity for us to just be. I know that I gave a ton of recommendations in terms of what we can do while we're, you know, kind of on, while outside is closed, because right now outside is closed. While, you know, I gave recommendations, but, you know, the other recommendation is just to be still. You know, mm-hmm. I think that sometimes we are so used to being busy and doing things and keeping ourselves engaged in something that we don't know how to just be. And I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for us to refresh ourselves, to revitalize our minds, to recalibrate ourselves, to think about if we've always been doing things that we've always done and those things weren't working, maybe this is an opportunity for us to replan and re-implement, you know, do something new. You know, we're entering into a new season. And so let us acknowledge that season and, you know, do something different.
Thank you, Dr. Silas. And before we go to the next person, I know that Vice President Lightfoot, there's somebody on the chat that has a question. Could you read it? I can't see it.
Okay. There is a question that may be to the chief. It says, what if I can't get access to your loved ones during this time because a caregiver parent of your adolescent loved one is breaking a court order? I don't hear much being said about court orders being broken and how court affected families haven't been affected during the COVID-19.
So before I turn it over to the chiefs to answer that question, if he can, I want to thank Dr. Silas for being on and for giving us some great tips for our mental health during this time. She talked about actually going outside, going for a walk, taking time within the house to do yoga or to color or do some other things. There are a lot of people that are out there on YouTube and other places that have examples and shows of doing yoga. I know that Debbie Allen had a dance Instagram, Facebook dance class. And so I see Dr. Campbell, Ashley Campbell on here as well, who's also a dancer, and I'm pretty sure it has some great tips. So we'll make sure that we get some of those tips for you and put them on our website so that that can be provided to the community. All of the numbers that she listed out, we will have those on our website, www.cityofrochester.gov/coronavirus. Wanted to also mention, Gina Cruz sent in that, it's important that we say this, that the hotline also all have interpreters in Spanish. And also there is a domestic violence helpline as well, which is 1-800-799-SAFE. Locally, it's 585-222-2377. And so we know some people in our community are dealing with domestic violence. There are hotlines that are available. I know that our local domestic violence shelter did a press conference or put out some information and say that they are still open, they are still available and still operating during this time. So we'll make sure that we have that information available as well. We have been working with Ibero Hispanic Action League to actually interpret a lot of different things for us, as we want to make sure that the entire community continues to be informed. Again, all of the numbers that Dr. Silas outlined, we will put those on the website. Thank you, Dr. Silas. I know that you'll be here if we get another question. I am now going to introduce both our police chief and our fire chief. We have Police Chief Laron Singletary that's on the line and Fire Chief Willie Jackson that's on the line as well. I know that we've had a number of different questions regarding law enforcement, regarding what's happening during this time. I want to give them an opportunity to weigh in. Vice President Lightfoot just outlined one of the challenges that people are seeing. And as we know, the courts are closed. The courts are closed, I believe, until the end of April. And so if someone is violating a court order, what should they do? Is there someone that they can reach out to, someone that they can call to get help?
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks for having me on this. So, and this is a great question. You know, right now we're dealing with a global public health crisis of epic proportions that is kind of meshing against the criminal justice system, as we have seen the law enforcement community, corrections community, the courts. Let me be clear, order protections are still in effect. In fact, some have been extended. The ones that are temporarily set to expire, they have been extended until we are out of this public health crisis. If there is, in fact, someone who is worried about a loved one and does have an order of protection in place, what my recommendation for you would be to call 911, explain the situation, have a police officer kind of come out and can facilitate that contact between that person, because we certainly don't want nobody to violate an order of protection. But yeah, again, these are times that we are dealing with that are unprecedented, that are seeing the public health crisis meet up against the public safety of the criminal justice system. So again, call 911, reach out to a police officer to facilitate the well-being of that individual, that loved one.
Thank you, Chief Singletary. Chief Jackson, I know that you're on the line, just wanted to make sure, and also Deputy Chief Felipe Hernandez is on as well, and we will answer any questions that we may have for our law enfororcement individuals at this point in time. But I wanted to ask Chief Singletary first, have you seen the numbers of calls for service go up or down during this time? And what are you all doing to make sure that our police officers and I'll ask the fire chief to hone in on this to make sure that they're safe?
Well, thanks, Mary. If you compare this week compared to last year this time, we are seeing a 21% reduction in calls for service. So that's about, we're down about 1,150 calls, and that can be, you know, contributed to a number of issues. Maybe this time last year we had a snowstorm that contributed to additional calls coming in. One of the things that we have done in the law enforcement community, like many other law enforcement agencies across the country, is we have reduced the amount of calls of our officers going to with regards to primarily medical calls in nature. If it doesn't involve any sort of police interaction and it's just EMS or fire related, we are limiting the amount of exposure to mitigate the contact that our officers have of contracting this COVID-19. So that's one of the things that can be contributing to the reduction that we have seen of almost 21% this year. Some of the other things that we're doing, we're outfitting our police officers with the appropriate personal protection equipment. I think like Dr. Cushman said earlier, we're continually evaluating the burn rate, how fast and how quick our officers going through surgical masks, N95 masks, gloves, and things of that nature. Right now, we are at a great point, but it's one of the things that, like Dr. Cushman said, keeps me up at night. You know, are we worrying about the supply levels that we have in our departments?
Thank you, Chief Singletary. Chief Jackson or Deputy Chief Hernandez, did you want to weigh in on how our firefighters are doing and what we are providing for them to be safe?
Yeah, so this is Chief Jackson. We are doing the same, something very similar as the police. We're making sure that all our firefighters are equipped with the proper PPE and that they are, and I want to assure the community that they are responding on all the calls that come in. So don't hesitate to call 911 if you need service. Right now, our calls are down about 20%, the same as the police. We are trying to limit contact as well to try and protect our people. And the main, our main goal is to keep our firefighters in service so that they can respond to the community needs. At this time, you know, I heard one of the people on the line saying that they were using candles as a way of relaxing in the evening. I just want to remind people that if you're cooking, that if you're using candles, if you're doing things that are abnormal this time of year because you're indoors more, I want to make sure that you're paying attention to those and you're still using the same fire safety methods that we've pushed out over the years and the same things that you've always done to be safe. So, you know, our firefighters are doing well. We do have enough PPE. We are monitoring that situation constantly. So things seem to be going well. And I just want to make sure that people understand that we are still providing the same level of service that we always have.
Thank you, Chief Jackson. I'm going to turn it over to Andrea, who has a question from the front line.
Community members are concerned about the number of people loitering on street corners. Will the police department or the city of Rochester, will they be doing anything to prevent people from loitering or enforce some type of a rule to enact that people cannot loiter on the streets?
Good question. First and foremost, we have been receiving those calls, so the public is doing their part and letting us know when they see large gatherings occur, either at a facility or a house party or things of that nature. One of the things that we will do as a department, we will respond. We will educate the public on the governor's orders and some of the orders and direct declarations that our local leaders have put in place. So the first and foremost, we will educate. You know, we will continue to say, you know, 10-person occupancy in certain situations. And, you know, we'll look at the whole situation as a whole. As far as enforcement, relative to, like, non-essential businesses and things of that nature, it solely relies with the state health commissioner and the New York State Attorney General's office to enforce any type of non-essential mandate from the governor. But, again, we will respond. We will educate the public. I think that's one of the biggest things that we can kind of do. As I said earlier, you know, we have the global public health crisis that we're dealing with that's matting up against the criminal justice system, and we're trying to take a fine line, a fine approach, and police departments and just like fire chiefs and EMS personnel are making decisions that we've never made before. I'm in constant contact with my colleagues around the country as to see how they're enforcing certain mandates that are put out by our local leaders. These are unprecedented times that we've never seen before, and it's causing us to make some really tough decisions, but crucial decisions for the safety of the public and our personnel.
Thank you, Chief. Andrea, did you have any other questions on the front line? Okay. Justin, are there any calls in the chat for our law enforcement officials? If not, I did have a question that was called in earlier, and it's along the same lines that you just spoke about, Chief Singletary, about big gatherings and social distancing and people that are gathering outside. How are we going to enforce those? And I think that you've already sort of answered that. But if they don't listen, we're not going to punitive measures, correct?
Correct. We are not going to punitive measures. I mean, at this point, for the most part, if we come on scene, the public is very respectful and listening to us. I mean, we all get it. We all understand. I mean, these are, like I said, times that we've never seen before. We're not used to having our movements restricted. We're not used to not being able to go to the movie theater. We're not used to being able to go to a gym and work out. So people are getting creative and going to those spots and continuing to do what they normally do. Like Dr. Silas said, you know, we like routines. Certainly in the police department, we're used to overadapting and improvising and overcoming. But this is something we've never seen before, but we are not going to enforcement measures. We totally understand the environment and situation that we are in right now, and we're just trying to be mindful of that, as well as educate the public on such. But we get it. There's not much to do right now until we come out of this public health crisis, but it's for the best of everyone right now.